reforming the rating agencies, a solution that fits the pressure of Demos. I've been a participant in the work of Americans for Financial Reform, which is a coalition of more than 200 community, labor, civil rights, and public interest groups. With me today to talk about the credit rating agencies are, or momentarily will be, Senator Al Franken of Minnesota, Representative Brad Sherman of California, and Richard Cordray, the Attorney General of the state of Ohio. Some quick context. Credit rating agencies. They exist to evaluate the safety of debt securities. Imagine for a moment that they had done their job, the only job they have, a few years ago when financial go-getters began churning out wildly complicated new bonds resting on a foundation of sketchy loans and the fantasy of endlessly rising housing prices. Properly labeled as junk, those bonds would have found few buyers, denied access to the vast reservoirs of capital held in mutual, money market, pension funds, and so on. The go-getters would have ended up as minor players, and millions of Americans might still have the jobs, homes, retirement savings, and economic security they've lost. So now you understand why rating agencies are important to Demos, to Americans for Financial Reform, and to our speakers today. We focused AFR especially on two particular pieces of rating agency reform. One is liability. Over the years, these companies have sought and achieved something close to blanket immunity, equating their ratings, which have become effectively licenses to sell securities to certain classes of investors, with the kind of political speech that enjoys the highest degree of First Amendment protection. That state of affairs will end if Congress has the courage to follow through on reforms approved by the House and Senate. The other pivotal question for us is conflict of interest. The glaring built-in conflict of interest associated with the issuer pays, issuer picks business model of the past three decades. Why did the rating agencies gloss over the huge risks of mortgage-backed bonds and CDOs and so forth? Because that was the way to attract business from the securities issuers, paid them, picked them, and in many cases had their help structuring securities to achieve a desired rating. Plenty of evidence of this cause and effect link was already on the record before this morning's hearing of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, but today's testimony only drove the point home further. Chairman Angelidi spoke of how Moody's became a, quote, AAA factory, unquote, in its quest for market share. Eric Kolchinski, a Moody's alum turned whistleblower, described a process in which bankers were calling the shots, even blackballing certain analysts from working on their securities in some cases. It was very clear to me, Kolchinski testified, that my future at the company and my compensation would be based on the market share that we brought in. He also said that Moody's, quote, couldn't say no to a deal. Couldn't even say no to securities issuers who had lied about the contents of a deal. There was effectively no sanction for lying, he said. So, the format of our press conference is as follows. Senator Franken, Representative Sherman, and Attorney General Cordray will each give a brief opening statement, and then the floor will be thrown open to questions. Please, everyone, identify yourself and your media affiliation before you pose your question. You may direct your question to a particular person or not as you choose. Let me very quickly introduce our speakers. Senator Franken, not very long ago stepped forward when it seemed that no one else would, with an amendment subsequently approved by the full Senate with strong bipartisan support that directly confronts the conflict of interest problem. Representative Sherman is concerned about the same problem and advocated a similar solution during the House debate. Attorney General Cordray has called for strong accountability measures for credit rating agencies. Okay, let's get started. Senator Franken, please.
Thank you, Jim. Jim put it beautifully in terms of describing what the problem with the rating agencies, how it gets. And I also hear some jazz in the background. That's lovely. But I was wondering if we can. Does anyone else find that distracting?
It's really distracting.
ones who did understand, as you hear from the Angel Ladies Committee, and also we heard from email that we saw in the PSI, the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, that these people knew what they were doing, and they deliberately changed their algorithms, and they changed what they were doing in order to give AAA ratings stuff that they knew wasn't AAA, and hence our meltdown. Now, my amendment addresses this problem and creates an independent board under the SEC to assign which rating agency provides the financial product's initial rating. This board will consist mainly of investors, pension fund managers, managers of university endowments. There will be someone from the rating agencies represented. There will be someone from banking, but mainly the majority will be from investors. And they will assign, and they will decide exactly how to do this. I don't think it will be totally random, because there are certain, obviously, there are going to be certain rating agencies that are more expert at doing other some things than others. But, you know, the Moody's and Standard & Poor's and Fitch did over 94% of the ratings, so there's kind of an oligopoly there that I think, because there are other rating agencies that can do this, and these will be assigned, and eventually their pattern will exist under this more accurate, and you'll be rewarded. The different rating agencies will be rewarded on accuracy rather than on you know, and the incentive to inflate the ratings. And so I think it this addresses the core problem in that industry. And I was thrilled because of that to gain the support of public colleagues like Roger Wicker of Mississippi and Chuck Grassley. Before the vote, they co-sponsored the amendment, and nine additional Republicans ultimately voted with them. This was one of the more bipartisan votes in the whole bill. So now it goes to conference, and I'm very confident that when it's put together with the House version, it will remain, and that when it comes to the Senate, we'll pass it, and I'll have actually done something to clean this whole system up.
Just a reminder, please put your phone on mute and not hold, and I know the person who put us on hold cannot hear it right now, but yes, that's from someone putting us on hold. So please, just a reminder to put us on mute and not on hold, and now Congressman Sherman, sorry.
I've been on the Financial Services Committee for several years, hearing after hearing,
Again, a reminder, please do not put us on hold. Whoever keeps doing that, please learn to use the mute button. Thank you.
In any case, what the credit rating agencies did was give AAA to Alt-A. They gave their highest ratings to mortgage-backed securities of subprime mortgages. And I think, as James pointed out at the beginning, you have to say that was the reason for the bubble and the meltdown that followed. The problem is,
Congressman, can you hold on one time? Yes.
Chairman Frank will take out that language.
Yes, just to repeat, my fear is that Chairman Frank will argue that we should just have future hearings and reports and commission studies on the idea of credit rating agencies being selected by a neutral panel. And the purpose of this press conference, and I hope the purpose of an awful lot of work in the future, is to insist that this amendment be part of the final conference report. And I don't think we need a commission to tell us that the present system is unacceptable. We cannot have credit rating agencies compete for highly profitable multi-million-dollar contracts by pleasing the issuer. And the last defense of the credit rating agencies is to say, well, let us keep doing just what we're doing, and the public shouldn't rely on our ratings. Therefore, since you shouldn't rely on them, you shouldn't change the system that produces them. And that's absurd. No one in our society should get multi-million-dollar contracts for producing a credit rating and then tell everybody it's an unreliable credit rating and therefore they have no responsibility. I think that wraps it up here.
The fact of the matter is, by the way, this is Senator Frank again. The fact of the matter is that people will rely on them anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Even as they say, don't rely on them, they get their multi-million-dollar contract because people do rely on them and will rely on them. And on what other basis is somebody supposed to invest, say, $50,000 in a corporate bond? Are they supposed to hire a team of analysts? No. If ordinary investors want to invest, they look at the yield and they look at the credit rating.
Thank you. And now on to Attorney General Richard Cordray.
Thank you. First of all, I'm very appreciative of the efforts that the our legislators are making to try to clean up a problem that has existed for years and is really at the heart of, I think, the subprime house broke the credit system and then the economy in this country. The issue of these system is a corrupt system that creates the kind of incentives that's difficult for the people involved in the system, even if they're pure of heart. And we have sued the three major credit rating agencies. We're one of three attorney general's offices that filed for a suit, in part because we think that model and the way they proceeded ended up harming our pension systems, our pensioners, your retired school teachers, police, firemen, and the like, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And we will continue to aggressively pursue those lawsuits. We understand that until the model is changed, until the incentives are different going forward, you could have a revisiting of this problem over and over again. And the harm here has been incalculable to lots of innocent bystanders, including millions of Americans who lost their jobs, have lost their homes. And we do think that much of it traces back to the flaws in the rating system and the rules that are underfoot in Congress, you know, although belated in this financial regulatory reform bill, but nonetheless timely if they're implemented equal passage, including both changing the issuer pays model and also removing the special status that the three credit rating agencies had, which helped create a huge barrier for other rating agencies to enter this market and create real competition. Both are welcome. I don't think they're the end of the story. I don't know that they're sufficient, but they certainly are a huge step forward, and we support and endorse them.
All right. Now it is time to ask questions, and I think that we should just throw the floor open and see if people do or don't trample all over each other's words and hope for the best. But do identify yourselves, please.
Hi, John.
John Ritzko with the Columbus Dispatch. I have a question for Attorney General Cordray. Attorney General, can you state the status of your lawsuits, and could you say whether you think if this provision is in the final regulation bill, does it strengthen your case because it basically says something wrong before?
We do take your questions in reverse order, Jonathan. We do think that the attention that's been paid to these issues in Congress, including the hearings that have been held, which have revealed further admissions and both surfaced further documentation of the problems that existed under this model, have helped reinforce the points we have made in our lawsuit. We believe we will be able to prove. The status of our lawsuit is that we were greeted fairly immediately with a motion to dismiss, with the standard approach by the industry. That motion has not prevailed in California now. It's been rejected. We have opposed the motion to dismiss in the Ohio case. The case remains pending, and the motion is pending right now in front of the court. There has been our effort to move forward with discovery. So far, the court has not set a discovery schedule. We're unclear whether they will do so before the motion to dismiss is ruled upon. That's a significant landmark event in the case when the motion to dismiss is ruled upon. We think we will be able to prevail on that, and we're seeking aggressively to recover hundreds of millions of dollars for the high pension system. Thanks.
Senator Franken, this is Allison with Bloomberg News. Are you concerned that your amendment is in jeopardy given the opposition from Chairman Frank?
Well, I don't know if there is. I didn't hear any opposition from Chairman Frank.
Do you worry that it might be stripped in conference or watered down somehow?
Well, I want it to survive conference. Not sure I'm worried, but again, I didn't hear on this call any opposition from Chairman Frank, did you?
I commented that was
you had a fear of that.
I've talked
to Barney Frank about this, and he didn't say that he was opposed to it at all. And he said he wants to read it, and I think that the overwhelming bipartisan vote that we had in the Senate, and that the analysis that we've seen in the press from every quarter except for, you know, the Wall Street Journal editorial page, which, is the Wall Street Journal editorial page after all. I think that you saw Michael Lewis wrote a column about it, and that said it was, and a number of people have written that this is one of the most logical and common sense and, dare I say, brilliant amendments in the bill. But I think it's one thing when Representative Sherman says he has a fear that the chairman in the House may take this position and change that into opposition that you heard. I think that's not accurately.
So you're saying you don't hear
that? I'm saying that I didn't hear. The premise of your question didn't make sense to me because I don't think that's what Representative Sherman said. What he said, that he feared that Barney would oppose this, but I haven't heard. I've talked to Barney, and he hasn't said that. And that's one thing to take on a conference call, the fear that someone expresses, and turn into opposition.
Okay, well, he said he will argue we should have future hearings and reports and studies on the idea.
That's what Representative Sherman said he feared.
Okay.
Now, that's very different than the fact that you suggested in your question that there was opposition.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yes, I may be just gloomy by personality. I think we have to work hard, create as much support in the country as possible for this amendment. Well described, Senator, is brilliant, and I certainly Chairman Frank has not said anything had a more
Let me add from outside the Beltway, Attorney General Cordray, perspective on this. I think that there has been ferocious lobbying on this bill at every stage, and it's appropriate to be concerned and watchful at each new stage, first the House, then the Senate, the conference committee, that any pro-consumer measures are potentially under assault. And we've been saying the Attorneys General have been watching closely preemption efforts to keep to knock us out of being able to enforce our consumer protection laws. So far, we are reasonably satisfied with where we stand, but we think at every stage we have to watch closely because the lobbying forces are trying to seize whatever territory they can, and they will continue to do so, and that's their job. Our job is to resist.
So this is John Hunt from UC Davis School of Law. I have a question about the details of the amendment, just a quick one if that's okay.
Okay.
So my understanding is that rating agencies can still be paid by issuers. They just can't be paid to issue an initial rating on a structured product by issuers. So the question I have is, okay, so the board assigns Moody's to issue the initial rating on a structured product. I'm S&P. When can I get paid to come in with my rating that the issuer wants? Like right away, like a day later, a few weeks later? Is that something that would be decided administratively later? How does that work? Where do you draw the line between the initial rating
and the rating that you can be paid to issue? Well, I think that'll be up to the board.
So it's a subject for future administrative rulemaking?
Yeah. If I can interject, I think it's important from a First Amendment perspective that we're not prohibiting somebody from issuing an opinion on a bond issuance.
Right.
We can't say. It's just that the initial rating will also, I think, have some effect on the credibility of every other, unless the agency that gives the second rating and the third rating want to look silly. There's going to be a different regime here.
Yeah, I see.
And also, I think it's important who selects whether or not you
More jazz. We should try to get in some more questions quickly, and we should hope for the jazz to disappear.
What's the person with the dog might want to put themselves on mute as well.
How does that process open up to other firms, to other credit ratings?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
How does your amendment open the process so other firms begin to issue credit ratings?
Well, what
to as far as the rating agencies. Is there anything in the either bill that would address that?
Well, yes, both bills, both House and Senate, have provisions that would, generally speaking, open rating agencies up to more liability, more civil litigation, the possibility of it. More questions? Or we said we would. This would be 30 minutes, so we only have a few minutes.
I guess time for. This is Jim Ryan from Bloomberg. I've got a question that's off topic, but do either of you think that the difficulties that BP and the administration are having in stanching this oil spill creates political problems for the president and, by extension, your party?
I'd like to urge that we keep this press conference on.
Question for Senator Franken. This is Christina Fierro from the Huffington Post. As you mentioned earlier about, as you put it, the old copy of the three major credit agencies, I understand that by having the outside board hand out, I guess, basically the assignments for which agencies rate which new offerings will open the door for the smaller rating agencies.
Right.
But do you think that that might be some sort of conflict of interest as far as stifling competition among those three agencies if they're really not competing and they're just, you know, being assigned ratings or assigned?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry, but I'm not sure I get the last part of that question. Say it again.
Do you think that it will stifle competition between the three major rating agencies since they're no longer really competing for new clients?
No, I mean they'll be competing to be accurate. That's what we want. Now, in other words, that at a certain point, after enough accumulation of evidence, the board will be able to see which agency is most accurate. And so each agency will compete to be accurate as opposed to compete to give the highest rating. So the incentive will be accuracy as opposed to inflating the rating. So I think it'll be a good form of competition.
Will the more accurate agencies be given more, I guess, more assignments, more contracts?
Yes, you're being rewarded for accuracy.
Okay.
Yes.
We have time for one last question, if there is one.
This is Nick Gorski at SNL Financial. I was just wondering, sort of, how are you planning on determining accuracy? Is that a matter that's specified in the amendment?